Our God and our Father in heaven, we glorify your majestic name today. We are in your presence to worship you. And I pray for each boy, each girl, each youth, each grown up, that as we worship you today, we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us not to hold back, but to pour forth praises unto your holy name, because you are the great and glorious God, and we are here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Baptize us with your spirit. Please, Lord, take away our sins. May we see Jesus high and lifted up, and may we worship you and surrender all to you afresh. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. My first name means loyal. Yours. Last week I went to play soccer. I usually play every Thursday night. This week I couldn't because we're doing vacation Bible school at Vestal. And when it comes to evangelism, I sign off everything else. It's evangelism time, and so is vacation Bible school. But last Thursday, one of my soccer buddies came to me, last Sunday actually, and he says, Warren, I think I know the answer, but I have to ask anyway. He says, we're going to play against Ithaca today. I'm telling you it's today, but last week you were saying on Saturday, and we're just wondering if you could play like about 5:30. You remember what he said to me first? I already know the answer. But let me ask anyway. It is good that people begin to know where we stand. It's good that people, and I had a little joy in my heart, the fact that he remembered that. And I told him, I said, look, I cannot. That this is not a day that I choose. This is something that God set aside. I was able to give him a few more lines in there. This is a time that God set a time for holy time, and soccer is my secular thing. I cannot do it on the Sabbath. If it was after sunset, that would be something else. Or tomorrow, which is the Sunday, it's something else. But I cannot. And he said, I knew, I understand. I am using every opportunity I have to drop a word for Jesus. I am sowing seeds for Jesus. And right now, I tell you frankly, some of my soccer buddies that I know are atheists, I'm sending things out about God. None of them haven't cursed me out yet, so that's good. I'm dropping a word for Jesus. Dropping a word for Jesus. You know, when I pause to remember that God is fiercely faithful, how can I be anything but fiercely faithful and loyal to him? Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 20 through to 25, which is our first passage today. Jeremiah says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. And we heard in your cry today, Arlene, oh, the world is hopeless, even as you shared in testimony time. But Jeremiah says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. What did he recall to mind? Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. There's another word for charity, Nanny. Compassion. Not a C word. Compassion. Through the Lord's mercies, and by the way, it's a capitalized Lord here. His personal name, Yahweh. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new, Brother Eric. Back to your testimony now. It says they are new how often? Every morning. And that's what you're saying, when we see each day that we have to live hope, greatly should we praise God. Jeremiah says, when I recall these things to mind, I have hope. And he says here in verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. 26, It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know that hymn 100 we sing in the song, Great is Your Faithfulness? It's based on this passage. Now all this week, we have been doing Vacation Bible School at Vestal Hills Church. And Vacation Bible School across the North American division this year has as its theme, fiercely faithful. Now God has been fiercely faithful to you, hasn't he? He has. Are you fiercely faithful and loyal to God? This is the high standard to which we must attain. Now is the time to please the Almighty. And I ask you the question, do you think God has sufficient grace to lead us into a life that pleases him? Do you think we can please God in the city of Elmira, in Sherman County, in August of 2023? Do you think we can please God right now? Yes, we can. Many people are copping out and taking the low path of cowardice. If you study eschatological or end time Bible themes, when people begin to skip church, you begin to wonder whether the end time shaking has begun. Do you know that there is an emptying and a fulling of church in the end of time? Do you know that's prophesied? Where God is going to shake people out of the church that are not serious about him, and he's going to bring new people in who were outside and saw the light and come rushing in. A day is coming when if you get here at 9:31, you will not have a seat. It will be so full that you will be late. It's coming. And I hope that day is sooner than later. There is going to be a coming of people to Christ like it's unprecedented in history. It's coming. It's prophesied. And I bank on that because I know that what God says is better than your money in the bank. The end time shaking. You know, we are told that all that can be shaken will be shaken. Catch this second passage of scripture today. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through to 27. Hebrews 12, 25 to 27. Paul says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." Verse 26. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." 27. "Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." A test is coming upon the whole world that will shake God's church mightily. There are many people in church who don't mean God, and God will shake them out. It's called the shaking. In early Adventism, you'd hear more about this. You don't hear it a whole lot today anymore. So I wanted to bring it back to your consciousness that there is a shaking time. And all that can be shaken will be shaken, that only those things will remain which cannot be shaken, according to Hebrews chapter 12 here, verse 27. Are you prepared for the shaking? And we're actually told that one of the things that will cause the shaking is this pouring forth of the straight testimony. When the straight testimony of the Spirit begin to be preached, will you fold and flee, or will you repent and be redeemed? Will you be shaken out Or will you remain fiercely faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ? Champions of righteousness are few. Only a remnant of humanity and a remnant of Christianity is left. The fruit and sin of sodomy is so emboldened that it's now being paraded and enshrined in the laws of the land. This thing is spreading around the world like wildfire. Still, God says in the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Here, God limits sexual intimacy to a heterosexual, monogamous, lifelong married couple. Any sex or fantasy about sex outside of such a Bible-defined marriage is sin. So pedophilia, rape, homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, sexual orgies, and fornication, etc., all are vile sins in the sight of the only true God. Nothing can change that. Sinners had a way to shake their fists in the face of God, but now we are flying a flag in the face of God. As terrible as is sin, it is expected in those who are still living in alienation from God. But when supposed Bible religion becomes entangled and embroiled in making excuses for sin, then you know that the gates of hell are prevailing against these churches that are obviously not built upon the rock of ages. Now is the time to go all out for God. We are those who have been called to proclaim the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 to 12. Do you think that now is the time for you to stand up and give this message? Do you think that now is the time for you to stand up and be fiercely loyal to God? In your heart of heart, where is your loyalty? Where is your allegiance? To what or to whom are you fiercely faithful? By the grace of God, I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is worthy. He is righteous. He is holy. And we pray, O Jesus, make us whole today. Set us right, God. Justify us. Sanctify us. Wash us. Cleanse us. And prepare us for translation into heaven. That's a term you don't hear a whole lot anymore either. Translation. Do you know that when God raised up the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he didn't just raise us up to live and then die. God raised this movement up to prepare people to be translated into heaven. Translation. We have some people in the Bible who were translated to heaven without ever seeing death. Who were they? Enoch. Who else? Elijah. Anybody else? The others, they died first, but they were also translated or taken to heaven. Moses is one of those. The 24 elders. And we talk about that in Sabbath school. Man, church, I would like to see Sabbath school like this. Like all of us who come to church, come to Sabbath school as well. Don't you think that would be beautiful? Because you know, in Sabbath school time, it's more interactive. We get to ask. We get to share some things. And I'm going to put this one out there. If more people came to Sabbath school, there would be less theological problems in the church. Because we could share some of our crazy ideas and the brethren in Sabbath school will straighten us out. Amen. Amen. We should come to Sabbath school. We should not make Sabbath school optional. We should make the effort. It's only 1 hour. And the worship service, maybe an hour and a half. That's 2.5 hours. out of 24 hours on the Sabbath. I think we can do that. Brother Alvin, you saw how that man pushed. He wanted to come even when his body was curling up and the flesh was leaving his bone. He still wanted to come. That's faithfulness. I think we all can make it to Sabbath school. What do you guys think? How many of you think you can make it to Sabbath school? Amen. Let me see the hands. Amen. Let's make the effort. I tell the brethren, as we rally together, that unity that we're searching after, brother teacher, that unity that we're searching after, as we come together and spend time together, it will happen. I wasn't planning to say this, but I'll say it. You know, last week, Saturday night, we had maybe, I don't know, you have to be careful of use superlatives, but maybe it was the best social at Vestal since I've been in this district. We had a bonfire. I know Vestal has like 7 acres, so there's a lot of property, you can do a lot of stuff. We had a bonfire there, and we roasted corn, and they roasted some of the other thing, what do you call it? S'mores. I'm not too big on the sugar part, but I stuck with the corn. But they roasted s'mores and all that stuff. And we had 12 people from the community. 12. Including immediate next door neighbors. And they brought some goodies for us. They brought some brownies and some... Don't tell anybody that I told you. They brought some good cans of Coke too. They didn't know that we don't use that. But you know, you don't tell the people that. They are bringing their bounties to the house of the Lord. And man, it was a wonderful time. We had a big fire that we lit. I mean, massive fire. Somebody said it was leaping 15 feet in the air. Big fire. And we had a smaller one, which we roast the corn. And people just came and we had a good time. Good old time, Seventh-day Adventist social. It was fun. 37 members. 39 members ended up coming. 39. And 12 people from the community, including one of my soccer buddies. And he says, man, this is good. I'm going to come back. Amen. 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 So I'm telling you, we need to press together as the people of God. We spend Sabbath school together, church service together. We have lunch, once a month at least. We need to find that quality time to spend together. We need to spend some social time together too. Social time. Build and spend time together. You know, God wants us to get together more often. The early church, from the biblical records, they met every day in one form or the other. Every day. When I came in the church in Jamaica, we went to church Sunday night for evangelistic meeting. Wednesday night for prayer meeting. And then, you know, the Sabbath services. And by the way, Sabbath is all day from Sabbath morning till sunset and after sunset. In Jamaica, we would go to church at 9:15. That's when song service start. And you have 15 or 20 minutes of singing. And then you break and the Sabbath school superintendent give their remarks and mission spotlight. And then we break up into Sabbath school. And you know how we have one teacher here and you have one nice unified thing? Oh, in my home church, in a space, originally it was maybe like this size. It's bigger now, but it was like this size originally. And you have 10 Sabbath school class going right on inside there. And you were trying to shut out the others and focus on your teacher. But it went on. It was busy. And it's still that way today. My home church, the sanctuary, is maybe twice as big as this now. And you better be early if you want to get a seat. I spoke there in December when I was there. And it's still full to the overflowing. In Jamaica, we have more people than building. In the U.S., we have more building than people. We have to find a way to kind of meet the two in the middle, right? But we'd go to church at 9:15, and we go until we break for lunch, and lunch is always served on the campus. Every Sabbath is fellowship meal. And we eat lunch, and then you're going to Bible class 3 o'clock. There's an hour of Bible class every Sabbath. And after Bible class, you're going to AY. And after AY, you have a Vesper service every week to close out the Sabbath. And if you think people are tired, after you say amen and church is dismissed, they don't leave those premises till 10 p.m. They stay there and they eat and they talk and they fellowship and have just good, clean, fun in a Christian environment. And the church thrive. My home church, at one time, the youth choir was 70 voices strong. The youth choir. That's not all the youth, just the choir. 70 voices strong. I believe as we press together, we're going to see miracles happening right here at our church. I think the fact that we are here is a miracle anyway. Amen. Brother Luke, I think you got it. Say amen one more time, Brother Luke. I think it's a miracle that we're here. How many of us could have died from COVID? Any number of us. Amen. And yet we came to 2.5 years of it. They did everything to frighten us, but we stood in there with Jesus. And we didn't let them frighten us and scare us to death. Because I think the way they put the fear in people, I think the fear killed more people than the virus did. But by the grace of God, we're here. And it means that God has a purpose for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, in Colossians 1, 9 through to 14, just to use you the word translation. In that portion, Paul says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And that's what we should do for one another. Do not cease to pray for one another. Amen? Paul says we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, King James Version, and translated us, New King James Version, and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son, King James Version, of the son of his love, New King James Version. And verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. God has conveyed or translated us into the kingdom of his dear son of his love, the kingdom of grace. What a privilege is ours. We get to be a part of God's kingdom of grace now. And as we mature in that worthy walk with Christ, he is fitting us up to be translated into the kingdom of his glory. Now is the time to be clothed in the panoply of God. Now is the time to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now is the time to be holy in our minds and hearts and homes and churches and schools and community and in all that we do. My first name means loyal. How about yours? You know, the German origin of my name literally means loyal. How about yours? Now, most, if not all, of the 54 countries on the African continent give names to their babies that are meaningful. Like I heard, Amariah. You know that Aya is a short form for Yahweh. Yah, Jah. That's God's name at the end of Amariah's name. Every word in the Bible with Aya at the end, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and you name all the Ayahs, Micaiah, all the Ayah is saying something about God, because Ayah is Jah, Jehovah, Yahweh. And so, I really salute Africa for doing that. In the West, names are usually more about cuteness. Cuteness, you know? In a recent case of the West, one man told his wife, quote, let us name our baby Lanezra. Lanezra. She was wowed at the name. And she replied, quote, "That's awfully cute. I've never heard that name before. I like it." They decided to name the baby Lanezra. When she quizzed him about the origin of the unique name, he brushed the question aside ever so gently. He didn't want to tell where he got that name from. But if you remind me before I close, I tell you where he got the name from. Amen? Now, there is a name that we never want to brush aside. And that name is Jesus. Even though my first name means loyal, I need Jesus to be loyal. Amen? In order to be loyal, I need Jesus. Jesus is the name which is superior and far higher than every other name. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so Jesus is exalted above the gods and the prophets. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, and then verses 10 through to 12. Quote, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, Jesu Christo of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" See, there was this man that was paralyzed. And he was at the church door as the members walking on the Sabbath morning, and they were, or whatever day of the week it was, they were, and this man was begging for coins. You know those beggars in the street? He was now at the church door. And as you walk into church, I don't know if it's Monday night evangelism study group, or it was a Sabbath school, you came early. He was at the door begging. It so happens that Peter and John, they were going up to the temple to pray. And this guy reached out and asked him for some money. And Peter says, "I am not like Arlene. I don't have all those millions stashed away." Yes. Yes. Peter said, "I'm not like Sister Arlene. If she was here, she would give you some coins. But I don't have coins. But what I have, I'm going to give it to you." And those men look at that man and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk." And at the name of Jesus, legs that were born paralyzed suddenly found life and energy and sinew and bone density and muscle to stand, and blood flowing, coursing through those veins. And Peter was saying, this man, don't look at us as if we're something great or something special. This man was healed by the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that this man was made whole and stands before you here whole. This is the stone, that's Jesus. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And then in verse 12, Peter was clear. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And I want to tell you today that Jesus is alive. Jesus was God folded up into a bundle of humanity. And at the age of 30, he began the most powerful 3.5 years of ministry ever accomplished anywhere on earth. Jesus forgave sinners. He healed all types of mental illness. And friends, that mental illness is affecting people, is affecting church, is affecting school today more than we ever imagined. COVID did a number on so many people. The whole lockdowns and the fear and the scare tactic and the twisting of arms and all that went into it, people are still reeling from that. Jesus heals all of that too. Amen? Jesus cured every kind of disease, including terminal illnesses. So when the doctor gave Arlene's brother 2 weeks to live in the days of Jesus, he went over and said, "I'm going to give you 22 years to live." That's the Jesus we serve. As a matter of fact, Some were already dead. And they sent to call Jesus. And he says, hey you, come on back to life. And the dead came back to life. That's the Jesus we serve. Amen. Jesus cured the equivalent of HIV AIDS. Jesus did that. He cured leprosy, which was as dreaded back then as is stage 4 terminal cancer now. Jesus fixed all kind of brokenness, broken hearts and broken homes. Jesus fixed failing marriages and solved family problems. Jesus fixed many paralyzed limbs, deaf ears, mute tongues, and blind eyes. Jesus instilled faith instead of fear and called for courage instead of cowardice. Jesus affirmed the only two sexes which God made, namely male and female. Jesus affirmed and attended the only marriage which God recognized. That is a heterosexual, monogamous, lifelong marriage between a male-born man and a female-born woman. Furthermore, Jesus fixes every kind of inherited and cultivated tendencies to sin and even offers to change our DNA if needed. You know, when you study the DNA, science tells us that is developed in the bone marrow. What does Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says? It says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of joints and marrow. There it is. The DNA is made in the bone marrow and God can change your DNA. It says God's word pierces your very DNA. Joints and marrow and reveal the intents of the heart and every thoughts of the mind there. God changes. In the grand scheme of things, does not matter how you were born, since you had no control over that. What matters now is that you let God make you a born again. Jesus specializes in transforming sinners into living saints of God. Jesus worked up a serious sweat, praying for our salvation, our deliverance from sin, from Satan, and from self-centeredness. Jesus prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood. Be no longer indifferent to Jesus. He didn't only pray until his sweat became as drops of blood. Jesus resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin for us and against the urge to give up on us and to give us up to our selfish passions and to Satan's rule. It was on our cross that Jesus died. It was for us that Jesus died. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus never sinned and was therefore never earning the wages of sin. Yet Christ died the eternal death for us and is alive to talk about it today. Christ did the impossible. He came back from the second death. We, Seventh-day Adventists, are called by God to tell the world about Jesus as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. He is doing a final work of atonement and intercession on our behalf. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You and I, as part of collective humanity, were at the cross mocking Jesus, spitting in his face, smiting him, taunting him to come down from the cross and to save himself. We callously drove those Roman nails into his holy hands and feet. But in Luke 23 and verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Sometimes we have to endure weeping for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus promised that all who die believing in him will live again. And Jesus himself died believing in the Father, and Jesus is alive again. He was crucified, but behold, he is alive forevermore. He arose from that ironclad secure tomb, and in mighty triumph, Jesus roared back to life. Friends, there is power in the name of Jesus. In a dream, an angel of the Lord told Joseph, a meaningful name to give to that holy baby boy. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the only savior from sin. You cannot eat enough veggies to cleanse you from sin. Amen. You cannot pray long enough prayers to cleanse you from sin. Amen. You cannot read the Bible long enough to cleanse you from sin. Amen. It is Jesus that cleanses from sin. Praying is important. Eating veggies is important. Studying your Bible is important. But only Jesus cleanses from sin. And so the song says, we have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the glad words all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Are you letting Jesus save you from your sins? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, King James Version, John says, whosoever transgresseth the law commits sin, for sin is the transgression of the law. And in John 1 verse 10 to 12, John records, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Isn't that what John also writes about in Revelation 22? Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is giving us that right. In the early church, when the disciples were beaten, scolded, threatened, and persecuted, did they run away from church? People leave church today for no reason. Others leave church because somebody said something. And I wonder if nobody say anything about them in the workplace. Because they go back there every day. And I would imagine that there are meaner people in the workplace than in church. I would imagine. I could be wrong. But people embarrass us in the workplace and we go right back the next day. And somebody just said, one bad thing at church and we're gone. Is that all that church means to us? We just walk away because somebody said something. Brother Elias, I can tell you by the grace of God, the man does not live who's going to drive me out of church. You have to chop my head off and then you can get me out of church. You can pull me out. But I'm not leaving church for anybody by the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. He called me into this church and he has given me no indication anywhere in the Bible that he's going to call me out. So I'm riding with the remnant church until he breaks the eastern skies. I'm staying inside. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not joining no offshoot movement anywhere. I'm a part of the one remnant, and that's it. That's it. I'm staying aboard the ship of Zion. Sister Arlene, you can't entice me with your millions to walk away from this church. I'm going to stay on board. This is it. This is the ship of Zion. This is the one sailing for the heavenly harbor. And I'm staying aboard. The disciples didn't run away when they were persecuted. In Acts 5 verse 42, so they departed from the presence of the council. This was the council that beat them and threatened them. It says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing. Do you rejoice when you're persecuted for Christ? These guys left the council rejoicing. I guess they had skipping ropes and they were just laughing and happy, skipping back home, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. People today are afraid of ridicule. One time I was in one church and I heard a young man say, there are two things he doesn't like people to know about him. And I'll be frank with you, he became a suspect since. He didn't want anyone to know he was a Seventh-day Adventist. That's what he said. I'm like, my God on earth. That's the first thing I want everybody to know. I belong to Jesus and to his remnant church. And if I can help you to do the same, I'm ready. People today are even afraid of ridicule. And to me, to be frank with you, I think that's ridiculous. To use a word from ridicule, ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous to be afraid of ridicule for Christ's sake. We are children of the Almighty. We belong and we are associated with the name that is above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Yahweh, ruler, Lord. He is worthy to receive our full and complete loyalty. Christ is fiercely loyal, so let us be fiercely loyal to him in return. Tell this truth to yourself. If you have a spouse, tell it to your spouse. If you have a family, tell it to your family. If you have a church, tell it to your church. If you have a school, tell it to your school. If you have a workplace, tell it to your co-workers. If you are in retirement, tell it to those who are not yet retired, and tell it to those who are retired too. When you rise up, tell it. When you lie down, tell it. When you go about, tell it. Tell it in the mall and tell it in the moms and pop stores. Tell it in the big box stores. Tell it in the small box stores. Tell it at your recreation. Let the whole world know that you are loyal to Jesus. You might not have been loyal yesterday or in yesteryears. Never mind those who want to remind you of your past. Be loyal to Jesus now. Your present loyalty takes care of your past and prepare you for an even brighter future. My first name means loyal. How about you? And as I close today, let's look at that passage one more time. In Hebrews chapter 12, the first four verses, Paul says, therefore, having heard all this, having seen that cloud of witness in the sermon or in the previous chapter of Hebrews 11, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Then he punches home in verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Paul is saying, don't sin, period. But then he's also saying, don't sin so cheaply. Don't sin so easily. But what you should do, resist unto bloodshed. In other words, prefer dying first than sinning against God. And we know that this stand is only possible through the grace of Jesus Christ. Only he can empower us to make this kind of stand. Many years ago, one theologian in one of our theology school, he said, to reject truth is apostasy. To fight against truth is disloyalty. But to be neutral in a religious crisis is tantamount to treason against the government of God. We cannot be neutral. We've got to take a side. After 2 years of his wife asking him where he got that name for the baby, the man revealed that his favorite soccer team was Arsenal. And he simply turned the team's name backward and named his baby Arsenal La Nesra. That's where he got the name. We know the name of Jesus means more than that to us. Amen? And let us not be as casual as this man. I mean, the team meant something to him, but it was still casual. Let us not be as casual as this man was with the name of Jesus. When we say we are Christians, that's the highest privilege on earth. And I'm going to say it. When we say we are Seventh-day Adventist, we're saying we're the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. We're saying we are the epitome of what God's grace does with a sinner. It is a pretty high calling. And I invite each of us to go back to Christ, if not right this moment, but as you reflect today on this Holy Sabbath, ask God, why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Bible believer? And ask God for grace to mean it. God wants our hearts to be happy. And God wants our homes to be happy. And as we stand to sing this hymn of commitment, we know that only as we surrender all to Jesus, we can have this happy home. Whether we live single or we have a family there, God wants our home to be happy. And our homes will be happy only as Jesus is the center of that home. Our God and our Father in heaven, I thank you for each child that is here today, for each youth, for each grown up. I thank you for anyone that will listen to this recording. And I want to thank you most of all that we all are making decisions for you right now. Lord, we are asking you to baptize us with your Spirit. Give us the born again experience. Fill us with your grace that we can be fiercely loyal to you, fiercely faithful as you have been to us. Lord, convert us. Transform us, Lord. Renew us, Lord. Redeem us, Lord. Rejuvenate us, Lord. And as we go from this sacred place today, may we go with your presence. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for the ministry of the holy angels. And thank you for the ministry of the saints. Watch over us, Lord. Help us to go and live for you, which includes praying and studying the Bible and sharing our faith and inviting others to serve you too. This next week, Thursday, Lord, will be our third Thursday, where we call upon members to take time to come aside to fast and to pray. Help us, Lord, in our individual spaces and corners and wherever we are, to take that time to fast and pray each month. Help us to pray, Lord, for the baptism of your Spirit. Help us to pray that you will move us, Lord, to the people that are waiting to be invited to your kingdom. The people, Lord, who you know that want to join church, but they have been so burned over. They are so skeptical of those who are just hustling in the pulpit and taking money from people. Lord, help us to go to the people and to invite them to you. Use us, Lord. Honor your name in our lives. And as we go through the rest of the Sabbath, help us by your grace to keep it holy. Remember the sick and the afflicted among us, the shut-ins, those who can't come out anymore. We ask that you be with them all. Be with the able-bodied, Lord, and help us all to repent and to return unto you and to live as you've called us to. Help us, Lord, to research, to search out what it means to be a Christian, a Bible Christian, what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And help us, Lord, to surrender all to you so you can make us the disciples you want us to be. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.